This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're back on the pulse, and we just heard the sounds of Caribou with Home, one of my absolute favourite tracks of 2020, taken off his 10th studio album, Suddenly. You can check out Caribou, of course, online, C-A-R-I-B-O-U. Now on the pulse, we're going to be talking collaborations.
Yep, it's only 2 more weeks before the new year, which means one thing is that time for all the best of 2020 lists, right? Yes, from music publications and all that. As we draw closer to the end of the year, we'll be taking a look back and sharing our top picks. We've also posted up a question on Instagram story asking you what's your top song from the year 2020. You can head over to our Instagram page at BFM Radio to share with us your thoughts, and we just might play that song of your choice on air during our last episode. But back to the best of music list, I came across a Rolling Stone article called The Best Pop Collaborations of 2020. And I think it's pretty predictable. You've got Blackpink and Selena Gomez for Ice Cream, you know, Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga for Rain On Me, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, of course, for WAP. And that got me thinking, collaborations are among artists especially have been so common these days that it's something that we overlook or are already so used to.
Yeah, you know, it seems like most new albums will have a feature of another artist on it.
Yeah.
Either as a marketing gimmick or also really just a nice sort of a musical wavelength.
Or even if they're on a different wavelength, like let's say Billy Ray Cyrus and Lil Nas X.
Well, that's like far out.
Yeah, so I went to Billboard's top 100 charts, right? And in the last week of November, lo and behold, 41 out of 100 in that top 100 songs list were collaborations or had featuring artists. That's almost half of all the songs on the top 100 charts.
Yeah. So we're going to find out together. You know, we mentioned earlier, collaborations have always been around music, but what are some of your favourites, you think?
The first one that comes to mind is, of course, Jay-Z and Linkin Park. I think when that came out, none of us actually expected that kind of cross collaboration. Another one, of course, Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, One Sweet Day.
Oh, well, that was my first sort of collaboration song too. You know, I was probably 12 or something, and that song came out. You know, I had known Boyz II Men to be a boy band, and also Mariah being Mariah, and that song just, yeah, it's stuck in my mind.
Any others that come to mind for you?
You know, the soundtrack of the movie Spawn really had a lot of this rock and hip hop collaborations.
Oh, you're taking it way back.
Yeah, because I'm of that vintage, right? And you know, that's one of those. You know, a new song probably in 2020 that I can think of, Local Native and Sylvan Esso, the new single Dark Days, is pretty cool. That's about it.
No, Santana, Rob Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
Even Santana and Michelle Branch as well.
Yep, that's iconic.
Yeah, but most of those examples that we've mentioned, right, are from the 90s and 2000s, have you realized? Because like, having features wasn't really as common as it now in the past, even though there were many collaborations that were happening in the studio. For example, Eddie Van Halen, who famously played the guitar solo for Beat It on Michael Jackson's track Beat It.
Yep.
But he wasn't credited in the actual song title, right? If Beat It was released to it will sound something like Beat It by Michael Jackson featuring Eddie Van Halen.
Correct.
And there's another one, Carly Simon's hit You're So Vain features backing vocals by Mick Jagger, but it wasn't credited. If it was released today, it would be Carly Simon featuring Mick Jagger. Another one, this one's pretty funny, you know, the song Emotions by Samantha Song. It's so obvious that it has Barry Gibb singing in that one, but he actually wrote the song and he did backing vocals for that track, but his name is not even featured in the song and artist section, which I found quite funny. Maybe just a change of the times.
Yeah, and I think maybe it just wasn't a trend to bloat up the song title and artist section, but of course it's very different these days where even the producers get a mention, you know, they are under the spotlight, especially for hip hop, where instead of saying featuring, it will say produced by so and so.
Yeah, and that's the trend nowadays, especially for hip hop. According to a piece by Chris Mollenfee on Slate, the website Slate, he says that we can look to the hits of the 90s and 2000s for some hints where it was very common to have a featured rapper in pop songs. Typically in the bridge section, I'm sure there are already a couple that's playing in your head right now, like Janet Jackson's Got Till It's Gone featuring Q-Tip, Rihanna's Umbrella featuring Jay-Z, Katy Perry, California California Girls featuring Snoop Dogg. And this is, of course, interchangeable with singers singing the hook for the songs of rappers, you know, like Ja Rule, Always On Time featuring Ashanti.
Yep.
Nelly's Dilemma featuring Kelly Rowland.
My favorite Destiny Child.
Yeah, but these days, right, it's very common to have five featuring rappers in one song, and you won't even turn heads as it's so common, like DJ Khaled, you know, he has like five featuring rappers.
Yeah, and I remember going through an A$AP Rocky record and he had Yella Wolf, he had Q-Tip, he had everybody on one track, like, I don't know, seven singers. And you can't tell the difference too.
Yeah. So Ali, are you for it or are you against all these kind of collaborations?
I think sometimes it works and it depends on what they have come up with. I like collaborations that throw me off, you know, like that doesn't sound like both of the artists. You know, that's like a creative jam almost. But if, say, for example, we take it back to that example of One Sweet Day, you know, Boyz II Men and Mariah Carey are both strong vocalists. So it sounded like they just did a song together. You know, it wasn't much of a thing. But I like it when, you know, like we just recently read that, you know, dub artist Burial and Fortet, and then there's Thom Yorke, yeah, you know, in the mix. That's something that I've always really liked. They don't always work for me, but I check it out.
Yeah, I think you can use the example of fashion as well, where like LV with Supreme, those kind of collaborations really encourages organic growth, where you can tap into a wider audience, you know, you reach out to a different fan base. And I think it's the same for music as well. And it creates new genres when you collaborate with people from outside of your genre, like Run DMC and Aerosmith.
Epic.
Walk This Way. It really opened up a path for rap rock. Before them, there was no such thing as combining rock with rapping, right? I mean, if you're a Marvel fan, it gives you a multiverse vibe.
Yeah, and you know, much like a compilation record or a split album in the more independent and punk scenes, collabs are always a good way to discover the other side of the coin, right? And if I've never heard of, say, Megan Thee Stallion, and I'm a fan of Cardi B,
yeah,
it make me want to check out her song.
Mm-mm. But at the same time, you can be too reliant on those features, right? This is the case, I feel, with most rappers, especially with those one-hit wonders where the hook is sung by the singer and people don't remember the rap, but they remember the hook that's sung by the singer, especially with this TikTok generation that we're in now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They only listen to 30 seconds of the song and they wouldn't really know the rap, but they will know the hook. But the hook is sung by the collaborator that is featured on that song.
Mm-hmm. You know, Justin Timberlake's Cry Me a River. Timberland just basically said one word. He's credited in there.
Well, he did produce that track as well. At the same time, I feel that nowadays, because collaborations are so common, it's sort of a flex to tell other rappers that your album has no features. Well, the only rapper I can think of that does this is J. Cole, because he wants to tell his peers that, you know, his rapping, his bars are strong enough to stand up on its own and he doesn't need collaborators.
Yeah, and I think I've got to mention someone like Mos Def as well. You know, pretty much sticking to himself on his solo records, but when he collaborated, it was another group. You know, he formed the Black Star with Talib Kweli, for instance, and that became the product of two MCs versus, you know, Yasin Bey's solo albums.
Yeah, I guess for you to have a successful collaboration or for you not to be overshadowed by your collaborator, you really have to have a very strong and unique product that really stands on its own. Yeah, you can let us know what are some of your favorite collaborations out there. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Right after this, it's our quickfire news segment, by the way. But before we get to that, here's a tune for you. It's one of those collaborations that I didn't think would happen. It's Megan Thee Stallion featuring Beyoncé.
Wow.
Oh, if you could get Beyoncé as a featuring artist. I mean, Megan Thee Stallion has to be confident in her work. I mean, Beyoncé, you don't want to get overshadowed by Beyoncé.
You can easily get overshadowed, that's the thing.
Because she's Beyoncé. Enjoy this one, Megan Thee Stallion with Beyoncé, The Savage Remix on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.